From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Monday, May 6th, and here are today's headlines. A special COVID-era law that changed Vermont's open meeting statute is set to expire at the end of June, but lawmakers may make some of the related accessibility measures permanent. Addison County Senator Ruth Hardy is co-sponsor of a bill that would allow select boards, for example, to meet remotely, but they would still have to offer a space for the public to attend.
We took a lot of testimony and really just trying to get to the point where we felt our open meeting law would be technologically in the 21st century, but also maintain a lot of the things that we as Vermonters really value about our public meetings.
Disability rights advocates want lawmakers to instead require boards to meet online. The bill does not force very small towns to film and record their meetings. Vermont sold about 30,000 Vermont Strong license plates to raise money and awareness after last summer's catastrophic flooding. That's according to a new report to the state legislature. But State Chief Recovery Officer Doug Farnham says there's still a lot of unmet need.
I think that energy and that awareness is probably the most important thing after a flood. I do think people feel like the flood is in the rearview mirror. For hundreds of Vermont families, it's not. They're still dealing with flood repairs. They're still dealing with the fallout.
People also had the option to donate to a special state fund that helps pay for removal of manufactured homes that were condemned due to flood damage. More than 800 donors chose that option, donating $128,000 in total. A bill that gives primary health care providers much more flexibility to order tests and procedures for their patients passed the Vermont House late last week. Backers of the reform legislation say insurance companies often use prior authorization as a way to delay services, and that can harm patients. This bill eliminates prior authorization for the patients of primary care doctors. Lincoln Representative Marie Cordes is a nurse, and she supported the bill.
It's frustrating to be a healthcare professional and feel like we are being maligned. Our integrity, our skill, our training, because insurance companies know better.
Opponents argued the legislation could raise healthcare premiums and that the impact needs to be studied. The bill now heads to Governor Phil Scott, who has expressed similar concerns. The Vermont House also gave its approval to a major flood resilience bill. In addition to restricting new development in river corridors and wetlands and ramping up regulations on dams, the bill bans exposed polystyrene foam in new floating docks. The environmental advocacy group Conservation Law Foundation says the foam breaks off and becomes microplastic trash in Vermont waterways. Julie Silverman is with the Conservation Law Foundation and advocates for Lake Champlain. She says extreme storms fueled by climate change are pushing more plastic and trash into Vermont's rivers and lakes.
When those trees and other debris come down river, they start to act like battering rams and basically bash up anything downstream, and oftentimes that's also dock.
Silverman says bigger storms mean more waves and erosion and more dock foam breaking apart. Many Republicans in the chamber oppose the ban, and Governor Phil Scott is expected to veto the bill, which House lawmakers passed on Friday, and which also contains new regulations for building in river corridors. The bill goes back to the Senate next for final review. And finally, a bit of good news for poetry lovers. A new poetry festival is launching in Woodstock next month, an event that replaces Bookstock, which would have taken place the same weekend, June 21st and 22nd. Organizers abruptly canceled Bookstock last month, telling 7 Days there were competing visions for the festival. Next month's Woodstock Poetry Festival will feature readings from nationally acclaimed poets like 3-time U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Pinsky and former Vermont Poet Laureate Ellen Bryant Voigt. There will also be poetry workshops and a reception. The events are free and will be held at the North Chapel in Woodstock. Coming up, efforts to add an equal protection clause to Vermont's Constitution. That's after this. Vermont's motto might be freedom and unity, but nowhere in the state's constitution are there any prohibitions against discrimination based on a person's race, sex, religion, or other characteristics. Civil rights advocates have been working for years to change that. Recently, their campaign hit a key milestone when Senate lawmakers advanced a proposal that would add an equal protection clause to the Vermont Constitution. Vermont Public's Pete Hirschfeld has been following the process, and he joined host Mary Engish to talk about what the amendment would do and why lawmakers are moving forward.
Why suddenly is there so much momentum behind this long-running push. It's been, you know, talked about before, adding this equal protection clause to the state constitution. But what's different about now?
Well, the short answer is the arrival of a conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court and the pace at which those conservative justices are reconfiguring legal precedent in this country. In 2022, the court effectively overturned Roe v. Wade. In 2023, the court issued a ruling that ends affirmative action policies in college admissions processes. We've seen similarly controversial decisions related to voting rights, to tribal sovereignty. Mark Hughes is the executive director of the Vermont Racial Justice Alliance, and he says the court's rulings force an urgent conversation right now about what the future is going to look like for groups who rely on the court's interpretation of our federal constitution as a safeguard for their rights and liberties.
You know, since we're having this conversation, it's important to ask ourselves the question of, is there any way that the state of Vermont can extend it, the protection of its citizens, and particularly those in marginalized communities, given the political climate, you know what I mean, that we're actually in right now?
The Vermont Racial Justice Alliance, the Vermont Commission on Women, the Vermont Office of Racial Equity all say there is, in fact, a way the state can extend protections to those communities, and they say Vermont can do it by amending its constitution. Just as Vermonters added a reproductive liberty amendment to our state constitution after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, Hughes says the state now needs a similar safeguard against discrimination. And the proposed amendment would make clear that the state shall not deny equal treatment under the law based on certain protected characteristics. And the nine classes named in the provision advanced by the Senate are race, ethnicity, sex, religion, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and national origin.
Mm. If this proposed amendment were to go through, how would it make any concrete difference in the lives in the marginalized populations that it's trying to protect?
No one that I talked to for this story is under the impression that this amendment would have any immediate impact upon ratification, but they say it could inform and influence court decisions over time in ways that mitigate things like racial and gender inequality. That's because it gives state courts a new touchstone for discrimination cases that may come before them in the future. Peter Teachout is a professor at Vermont Law School who specializes in constitutional law. He says this proposed amendment would give Vermont Supreme Court the latitude to arrive at decisions that they wouldn't necessarily get to if they were relying exclusively on the 14th Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, which is the federal equal protection clause that courts often look to when considering the merits of equal protection claims.
States can provide protections, greater protections against discrimination than the Supreme Court has held the 14th Amendment provides against discrimination.
Teachout warns, however, that this is not a fail-safe against the sorts of outcomes that people like Mark Hughes are worried about. If the Supreme Court, for instance, says college admissions policies can't give weight to someone based on their race, then Vermont courts can't say, well, we have a different constitution, so we can do affirmative action. But where that issue of federal supremacy is not in play, Teachout says this amendment could play a substantive role in shaping legal decisions. And he says, perhaps most importantly, it protects against a dystopian future in which Vermont's legislature is controlled by people who might seek to roll back the rights of protected classes that are enumerated in the amendment.
Hmm. I know that Vermont's constitution is like the shortest word length one in the nation. I know that they've also had relatively few amendments to the constitution historically, but voters approved two amendments during the last general election, and now we could see this other one in 2026. Does this seem like it's a beginning of a trend?
It seems like it might be. We saw, as you mentioned, the reproductive liberty and anti-slavery amendments adopted in 2022. This year, we have not just the equal protection proposal, there's also a proposed constitutional amendment that would enshrine the rights of workers to organize in our state's founding document. Senate President Pro Tem Phil Baruth says He doesn't think lawmakers would be devoting their time and attention to these issues but for the rulings that they're seeing come out of the nation's highest court.
I don't think it's being generated here proactively. I think these are defensive moves against a Supreme Court that has decided that they have a relatively short window to remake America in the image they prefer.
We should note, Mary, these proposed amendments still have a ways to go because the process of amending the state constitution is a multi-year process. The House still needs to approve this proposed amendment. That's scheduled for a vote probably next week. But then both chambers of the legislature will have to approve both proposals again during the next legislative biennium before they can be ratified. If those votes come to pass, then Vermont voters will get the final say on whether to adopt those amendments, and they'll be able to do that in the 2026 general election.
That was Vermont Public's Pete Hirschfeld speaking with host Mary English. And as the legislature heads into the final days of the session, stay on top of all the coverage from our Capitol Bureau at vermontpublic.org. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Howard Weistisman, April McCallum, Corey Doxer, Bob Kinzel, Abigail Giles, and Adia Golston. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.